He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
He was pounding on the cockpit door, saying, "Let me in," desperately pleading, "Let me in." And in return, he got silence. And then the Airbus jetliner carrying 150 disintegrated on impact in the French Alps. And now a French prosecutor who has heard all of the flight recordings says the co-pilot purposely crashed the plane, purposely killed himself and 149 innocent people. It is 10:07. Man, the world has changed in the last few hours. I'm Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera, live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Let's talk this out. Lots of information still coming in. The CEO of Lufthansa, who owns German Wings, is having a news conference right now. We'll get information from it and bring it to you. If you were listening yesterday, and if you weren't, what the heck is wrong with you? But yesterday, I started this show by asking the perplexing question, why was everyone so quick to discount terrorism in this crash? And now, that possibility is most definitely front and center. Even though investigators are still stubbornly saying it's not terrorism. Maybe it's not, but they don't know. And that's the point. 500 investigators are now combing through everything that belongs to German co-pilot Andreas Günther Lubitz. This morning, nobody knew his name. Now the world wants to know every little detail about him. He was the co-pilot. Friends say he was not depressed. Lufthansa says he had medals. He was a great pilot. But the only one and the only way that you can have a controlled descent from the sky at that altitude was to do so purposely, to do it manually. And investigators are certain that's what Lubitz did. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. You'll remember that yesterday, all day yesterday, despite the fact that planes do not just drop out of the sky, the U.S., the French, the Germans, and the airline all said it wasn't terrorism. They're still claiming that today, even with these facts in their face. Why? Even though the circumstances of the crash, even yesterday, were at the very least bizarre, everybody's still discounting terrorism. That got my antenna up yesterday. It's still up today. And the calls yesterday were great in trying to unravel this mystery of flight 9525. Let's keep that going. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Laura from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC. Laurie from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC. All right, we'll get back to her. You'll remember yesterday, despite the fact that there was overwhelming evidence to the contrary, nobody wanted to claim that it could have been even pilot error at that point. A malfunction is what we were being told. But then the New York Times first reported that for some reason, the pilot got up and left the cockpit. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. Maybe he wanted to greet the passengers. Maybe he wanted to hit on the flight attendant. But he got up from his seat, and still right now we have no idea why he did that. And it seems that Lubitz, in evil premeditation, was waiting for that very moment to have full control and the ability to lock the cockpit. Lubitz had formally requested control of the flight 20 minutes in to the flight. The eerie thing is that after the pilot gave control of the plane and got up to leave the cockpit, the co-pilot was absolutely silent, breathing normally into his microphone, not saying a word. calmly, silently, taking 150 people, including himself, to their deaths. How cold-blooded. And when the pilot tried to return to the cockpit, he couldn't get in. You can hear him knocking softly at first. Let me in. And as the plane drops, he starts pounding, saying, I know you can hear me. He gets on the intercom system and pleads with the co-pilot to please, don't do this. Open the door. Don't do this. And Andreas Lubitz, the co-pilot, remains silent on a deadly mission to destroy the plane and destroy lives. Mary from Huntington, you're on 77 WABC.
Oh, this is a terrible morning, Larry. Just awful. My heart goes out to all the loved ones of those who perished on the plane. I think of those young high school kids.
And you can hear them screaming on the recording when the inevitable was about to happen, when they realized what was going on. Mary, imagine for a moment sitting on that plane and watching the pilot so desperate, getting on the intercom saying, please don't do this, please let me in, and the realization that somebody's about to murder you.
Horrible. Horrible. Larry, one point that I wanted to bring up was earlier in the morning I heard on the news, the news officials were saying, rather almost boasting, that this could not happen on an American aircraft because if the pilot leaves a cockpit, that a flight attendant is then sent in so that the co-pilot is not alone. And I'm thinking, aren't flight attendants usually women? Aren't co-pilots usually men? How, if someone wanted to do this, what good having a flight attendant in there would there be? I mean, they've got to rethink how to reopen that door for someone who has a right to be in the cockpit.
No, you're absolutely right, Mary. This obviously didn't work. And you're right. I heard Sally Sullenberger talking about this today, the famous pilot who saved the plane here in New York. He said it is standard procedure in the U.S. that if anybody leaves the cockpit, they have to be replaced by someone else so that no one is ever alone in the cockpit. And you're right. Maybe the co-pilot could overtake the flight attendant, but maybe he could overtake the pilot. But at least he's not there alone. This guy, Lubitz, think about it. He waited for this opportunity. He knew what he was going to do. He just waited for the pilot to get up and leave so he could be in there alone, have full control, and pull off this despicable deed. Ellen from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, I think they didn't want to, they wanted to downplay terrorism just because they try to ameliorate any kind of hysteria or speculation. But, you know, Larry, they did get to the bottom of it the next day. So.
Right, but we're not children. You know what? I mean, we're not idiots.
I understand all that, but, I don't know that it's quite, I don't see that per se as being a big issue. It's not like they've tried to cover anything up. And I agree with your previous caller. You need people that are of equal stature to be guarding the cockpit.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for this French prosecutor, Ellen, we wouldn't know a lot of this. He was the first one to come out and say, no, this guy did it. I think that had someone else been in control, like maybe the U.S. government, we wouldn't have known everything that this prosecutor let us know today. He was wonderful in his honesty, in his bluntness, although he did say something bizarre today, and I don't know if you caught it. But he said, it's not terrorism, which he doesn't know, but they must all be told to say that, maybe for the reason you said, Ellen. But he also said it's not suicide, because he said usually when somebody commits suicide, they don't take 149 people with them. Well, yeah, it's still suicide. That makes it murder-suicide. It makes it mass murder-suicide. But it's still suicide when you take your own life. There's so much information coming in. We're going to stay on top of this. I'll pass it all along to you. We're finding out a whole lot more about this guy, Andreas Lubitz, the guy, the mass murderer who flew a plane into the Swiss Alps. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
The Sound of the City, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Just getting word that the FBI has now formally been asked to take part in the investigation, what is now a criminal investigation of the crash of flight 4U9525, a Germanwings flight. And the question now is, who is Andreas Günther Luntz, the co-pilot who locked himself in the cockpit, would not allow the pilot to get back in? The pilot just left for some reason, maybe to go to the bathroom. And he quietly, calmly, they said they could hear his breathing was calm, took this plane down and crashed it. The French are saying they're still awaiting background information from the German government. We know he's a German national. He was not on the terrorism watch list. He was a good pilot. He went through training. He's been with Lufthansa, who owns German Wings, since 2008. Friends say he wasn't depressed. So what happened? Did he hate the airline? Was he just a suicidal maniac, or was he a terrorist? Because this exact same thing has happened before. If you remember, with Egypt Air back in 1999. So why aren't we talking about terrorism? 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. I'm not saying that's what happened, but to me, it's odd. To me, it is perplexing that everybody's saying, no, it's not. Can't be. Uh-uh. U.S. government, Lufthansa, the French prosecutor, everybody, it's not terrorism. You don't know. We're not children. We all know that's a possibility, especially with what's been happening with lone wolves in Europe recently. Let the investigation play out. But for you to take that off the table is insulting. Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Jackie.
What are the chances that it could be something else, like that he couldn't breathe at that minute, or what other chances are there?
There's really none. I mean, look, at either he took it down as a suicide or he took it down to kill the people on board. He was obviously trying to make some kind of statement. The question now is, what is that statement?
Definitely. And you know, Israel, the El Al plane, this could never happen. If the world learned from Israel, the El Al planes have special men dressed in regular clothing, designed that if there's anything like this, they would immediately stop it. They don't even let it ever get to anything like this because, you know, when I fly to Israel, there are different lines. And I asked them once, what are those lines? They have, like, people, they have undercover people constantly watching. Everything is so visualized there that it,
yeah, no, they do a great job, Jackie. You're absolutely right. And we have air marshals in this country, too. And you wonder why things were so lax on this airline. You're now hearing that there are rules in the U.S. There's a protocol that if the pilot goes out, somebody's got to go in. Somebody from the flight crew has to take his place so that nobody is alone at the controls. You never have all those passengers' lives in the United States in the hands of one person. And that obviously is not an international rule. And then apparently this pilot tried an emergency protocol to open the cockpit door, and that didn't work. How can that be so easily overridden? So, look, those kind of questions are to come. How do you make these planes safer in Europe? But right now, we got to figure out what this guy, Andreas Günther Luntz, was up to. Paul from Queens, you're in 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Paul.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, now France is coming up with this through investigating. So investigating, they found something. If America thinks there's no terrorism, I think there is. Because you know what? If they call it terrorism, they're going to call it workplace violence in America. That's why Nadal, who takes orders from a mom and killed American soldiers, and we never got purple medals for our families and troops that got killed by Islamic terrorists that got converted. Let's find out if this guy's converted. If he converted to jihadism, then we know what the situation is.
Yeah, they're going through, Paul, thanks a lot. I looked at his Facebook page, or you tried to, it's already been taken down. I'll tell you what, it's a bad day to be a friend with Andreas Lovitz on Facebook, because you're getting the visit from a whole lot of investigative bodies, if you are. But you're absolutely right, Paul. I do think they don't want to call it terrorism because they want to give the impression that we've defeated terrorism, that we're in control, when we're not. I'm not saying it is. We don't know if it is, but we cannot eliminate it as a possibility. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Linda from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Oh, good morning, Larry. There's an intermediate psychological state, I'm not saying it's a certainty or even a possibility, called dissociation, whereby someone, it's akin to sleepwalking. And when you mentioned that the pilot appeared relatively calm, that thought occurred to me. In dissociation, the person would be very numbed and what's called depersonalized, and would not actively realize the consequence of their actions, but actions may have been triggered by some underlying problem.
Look, I hate to make excuse, Linda, that thanks, and I'm sure we're going to find out a whole lot. I hate to add some psychological mumbo jumbo to this whole thing, because you're making excuses for this guy who, to me, is just a cold-blooded killer, and I don't want to know anything nice about him or give him any excuses. This is 77 WABC.
On the air, online, and on iHeart.com. We are 77 WABC.
From New York, for New York. Live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC. Where New York comes to talk.
It's now 10:37. This is Larry Menti in today for Geraldo Rivera. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536, as always, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. I hate watching the news and then talking about this Andreas Lovitz as the co-pilot in the plane. He is a premeditated mass murderer. Let's start calling him that. Let's start using his middle name like we do with all despicable mass murderers. Andreas Gunter Lovitz. Crashed flight 9525, German Wings flight 9525, on purpose. He waited for his opportunity to do this. He locked the pilot out once the pilot went back to go to the bathroom or something. Locked him out. And then slowly, deliberately, in a controlled fashion, over the period of 8 minutes, took the plane down into the Swiss Alps, with men, women, and children in the back screaming. What a despicable human being. But it's not terrorism. No, 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 no. Everybody's saying it's not terrorism, as if they know. It may not be. This guy might be a maniacal, murdering, despicable human being. He may have been suicidal, although everybody's saying he's not. We're going to find out over the next few hours, over the next few days, exactly who he is and why he did this. But right now, we don't know, and to say it's not terrorism is insulting. James from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Good morning, Larry. How are you? And if you just give me a minute to explain, you'll understand my thinking. It is terrorism. I think it definitely is terrorism, but they're not going to say it because it'll cripple the airlines. Now, if you go
like a crash itself, like this doesn't cripple the airlines, whether it's terrorism or not?
Because an accident is an accident.
People, this isn't an accident. This is a deliberate. Plane. This is a deliberate act. It's not an accident.
That's what I'm saying. But they're not going to say that now.
They did.
If you look back a couple of years, you know, you got the underwear bomber, you got the shoe bomber, you got the gel bomber, you got all these bombers, and that's why it's terrorism. And they're not going to say it's terrorism. This is the new kind of terrorism. They say it's, the terrorists said they were going to start taking down airplanes.
Yeah, no, James, I'm with you on that. This is the new kind of terrorism, getting lone wolves. But again, I'm not saying it is. I'm just upset that everybody is saying it isn't. When I say everybody, I don't mean you. I mean authorities, the United States government, the German government, the airline, the French prosecutor, all saying it's not terrorism without knowing, as if we're children, as if we're ignorant to the facts, as if we're ignorant to what's going on. To me, that's insulting. Let the investigation play out. Don't even mention it. When you're asked about terrorism, say that that's to be discovered. That is one of the possibilities. We just don't know right now. Nathan from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Morning.
My only question about the theory that it's a terrorist attack, a Muslim terrorist attack, is it's usually customary that before they die, they praise Allah. And it's weird that you didn't say Allahu Akbar or anything right before. That's my only question about that.
Yeah, and it might, look, he might not be Muslim. It might be another kind of terrorism. Remember with Oklahoma City and the Oklahoma City bombing, everybody assumed it was Muslim terrorism. It was homegrown terrorism, believe me. Germany's got a whole neo-Nazi movement going on. Who knows? It's almost irresponsible to throw some of those things out there, but what I'm saying is there's a whole long list of possibilities. And we just don't know. So let's not come out and eliminate possibilities. You don't have to emphasize them, but don't be insulting by saying, no, this didn't happen when it's happened before. Jimmy from Wayne, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, at best, the world economies, you know, they're at a tipping point. And if somebody came out and said this act was an act of terrorism, it would just destroy the tourism in Europe and the United States.
Jimmy, I guess what we're all doing is we're grasping for reasons why they would do this. And that's as good as any, but there really is no good reason. I happen to think that they don't want to admit to a terrorist attack because we want to perpetuate this narrative that we have ISIS on the run and we've defeated Al-Qaeda. And the Western world wants to do that. But the evidence is to the otherwise. The evidence in Belgium and at Charlie Hebdo in Paris and at Fort Hood here is that terrorism is alive and well and up in Canada. So let's talk about it and deal with it and deal with the awful possibilities. And this crash of the German Wings airline, terrorism is a possibility. I just want people to come out and say it. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Mark from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, Larry, I think a law has to be passed.
Pam from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC. Or Dan, sorry about that. All right, let's try Louie from New Jersey. You're on 77 WABC.
Hello, Larry. First of all, I miss you on Sunday night. What happened?
Oh, yeah, you'll hear me do more during the week, Louie. That's what happened.
Okay, listen.
But thanks for asking.
Okay, cool. The first thing I want to say is, listen, this can't be terrorist, because if it was a terrorist act, you would probably aim for another building or something to make it even worse. But my opinion is...
Hey, Louie, do me a favor and call back. Somehow you went through a section, you must be driving or something, you went through a section where your cell phone got all screwy. But I got your point in the beginning. They would want more bang for their buck, is what you're saying. They would fly it in. They wouldn't fly the plane into the Alps. But what you're forgetting is that this guy was waiting for the opportunity, and he may not have had the opportunity later on in the flight. He waited in this flight for the pilot to leave. Now, what is strange to me about it possibly being a terrorist attack is that nobody's claimed credit for it yet. And usually when there's an attack like this, Al-Qaeda or ISIS or somebody that's had contact with this guy will come out and praise be to Allah and tell the world that they did it. And that has not happened yet. So again, I'm not saying it is a terrorist attack. But it's certainly there is a possibility. And it's happened like this before. And there have been a lot of lone wolves attacks in Europe over the last few months. So we just can't eliminate it as a possibility, especially now. I mean, yesterday I thought it was odd. Today, we now know it was a deliberate act. So of course it could be terrorism. We're going to find out too. Believe me, this guy, Lovitz's home is swarming with investigators. Everybody he's ever talked to over the last 2 years is getting a knock on their door. His computers, everybody's going through. We're going to learn a whole lot more about this guy in the coming hours and certainly by tomorrow. We're talking about what turns out to be a despicable, cold-blooded mass murder by a German national in the crash of the German Wings flight. This is Larry Mantey in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Mantey in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. We now know that, well, now mass murderer, German Wings co-pilot Andreas Günther Lubitz, deliberately crashed flight 4U9525 into mountains to destroy the plane and kill everybody on board, including himself. Investigators are going through everything he owns. They're all over his home in Germany. But one of the big questions that remains is, how was he left alone in the cockpit to do this? How can he disable the door so the pilot can't get in? In all of the precautions these airlines take, how does this happen? How is there this gaping hole in security? 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. My feeling is this is going to be fixed. But still, to allow this to happen, to let your guard down like this, I'll tell you what, the airline's going to be paying a lot of people. Ginger in New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi there, Larry. I'm a retired flight attendant, 33-plus years of service. And
well, thank you so much for calling in. Okay. When you hear the details of this, Ginger, how does it happen?
Well, this has happened before. If you recall, there was an Egyptian Air airplane that crashed, I think, off of Cape Cod or Newfoundland, and it was also a co-pilot, and the information was kind of dicey about exactly how that happened.
It was Egypt Air Flight 1990. It
right.
happened in 1999.
Right.
It was almost the exact same
circumstances. Very similar circumstances.
Yeah.
And if you want to throw that disappeared Malaysia airplane in, I don't know, but that's also very mysterious.
Well, Ginger, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is going to reopen that investigation.
Yeah.
Now that this happened, there's a couple of airplane crashes we've had out of Malaysia recently, and that's absolutely going to open up the investigation into the both of them. Jack from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi. How are you today?
Good, Jack.
Yeah, let me ask you, why can't they do a safety precaution that there should always be two people in the cockpit, make like a bathroom in the cockpit?
Well, he asked two different questions. But first, in the United States, they do have such a rule that if the pilot leaves just to go back and say hi to the passengers or do whatever he's going to do, get a cup of coffee that's not brought to him, if he just wants to go back and say something, somebody has to go into the cockpit. Now, apparently that is not the case in Europe, but in the United States, that's supposed to be protocol so that the co-pilot isn't left there alone. As far as putting the bathroom in the cockpit, I'm with you. I thought that this morning. My feeling is the airlines just don't want to give up a couple of seats that they like to sell. Tim from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC. Hi, Tim, you're on the air. Louie from New Jersey, welcome back. You're on 77 WABC.
Hey, I'm glad maybe you can hear me better now. Listen, yeah. This guy was 28 years old, and the number one problem around the world is drugs. Now, this guy could have been on Molly, heroin. He could have maybe took the drugs and been on a stupor and said, "The hell with it, I'm going down." You know, and Larry, also, on a funnier note, where can I get a bobblehead doll of you and Mark Levin?
Oh, man, you can't. But I'm a living bobblehead. Oh, thanks for that. A light moment on what is an awful day, but I don't think it was drugs. This guy was too calm, and I think somebody would have noticed something was wrong before he took control of the plane. Look, this is the only topic of the day, and we're going to continue our discussion. I really would love to hear from some pilots, though, and from some former flight attendants, just like Ginger that called in a moment ago. This is Larry Menti on 77 WABC.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The world is trying to find out everything it can right now about Andreas Günther Lubitz, 28 years old, a German national, and we found out this morning the latest mass murderer. He was the co-pilot on the German Wings flight that went down into the Alps. And apparently the flight recording that was heard by investigators is chilling. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. A French prosecutor today, Bryce Robin, went through what happened. He said that Andreas Lubitz waited for his opportunity. So this was premeditated. He took control of the plane from the pilot so the pilot could go in the back for a moment. We don't know the reason right now. But he goes in the back, and when he does, the co-pilot calmly, we know calmly because they heard him breathing regularly, calmly, not saying a word, into his microphone. They say, quote, he pushed a button to take it off of autopilot and bring the plane down. At a quick descent, but a controlled descent. His plan was to kill himself and everybody on board. He didn't pass out. They could hear him. He was fine. There's no disruption. Nothing cracked. They could hear it all. And then they heard the pilot come back and pound on the door. First it was a mild, let me in. Let me in. What's happening? Why is the plane going down? And then he started pounding on the door, pleading and taking anything he could find to try to open the door. He tried to go through an emergency system, and that was, how do you allow the co-pilot to override that system? But that was overridden. I guess it's to prevent terrorism, but the very terrorist himself might have been in the cockpit. Nobody's saying that now, that it was a terrorist, but this has happened before in 1999 with Egypt Air Flight 990, Egypt Air Flight 990 going from Los Angeles to Egypt. It was taken down in international waters off the U.S. coastline up by Nantucket. Same thing happened. Pilot went in the back, co-pilot locked the door. But in that point, at that time, it was definitely terrorism because we heard him saying God is good. I rely on God in Arabic. This time we've heard nothing. But why are they so quick to say it's not terrorism? We have no idea what happened. Was he just a nut job? Did he fly off the deep end and decide to kill himself? Oh, his friends say he was fine. But it was deliberate. He was suicidal, and he was a murdering maniac. And he took down this plane, and he killed the school kids in the back. Those moms with their kids in the back. What that must have been like on that flight. And on the flight recorder, you hear the screams as they realize what's going to happen. And that piece of trash, that co-pilot is taking down the plane, hearing those screams. He wanted to make some kind of statement. We just don't know whether it was a personal statement, it was something against the airline, or it was some bigger message to the world. We don't know yet. But the FBI has been called in, and German investigators are going through his place in Germany right now, and French investigators are on this. Everybody's trying to figure out who this guy is. Believe me, anything he's done, anywhere he's been, anybody he's talked to over the last couple of weeks, they're being talked to now. because we do need to know what his motive is. But a lot of guys do this for some kind of sick fame. So I hope we find out why he did it, and then we just forget all about him. And then we just talk about those people who lost their lives just by being on the wrong flight. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. You know, it's hard not to just hate this guy. Tony from White Plains, you're on 77 WABC.
I have a different take on this. How do they know it was the co-pilot? What makes you think it couldn't be the pilot? He could have switched over when the other guy went out.
Yeah, no, they can't. He can't. Tony, this has been pretty well investigated. And in case you haven't heard, and just in case you haven't heard either, what happened is he left, and they know he was outside. They heard him get up. They heard the pilot get up. They heard the pilot say, "I'm leaving." They know that the co-pilot took over on the controls. They can see that. They heard him breathing, and then they hear the co-pilot muffled on the other side of the door, and they hear him on the intercom system pleading for the co-pilot to let him in. So it just couldn't have been the pilot. It was definitely the co-pilot. Tim from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, I think passengers have the right to...
James from New York, you're on 77 WABC. James?
You mean Jay?
Oh, Jay, I'm sorry. It says James. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, listen, I can't find... I'm just like you, Larry. I can't find anything with this guy's background. So I just want to throw in a monkey wrench, which is, if a pilot left to go to the bathroom, right, is it possible because he knew he was going to come back, he would have left the door open? You know how human nature is. And while the door was locked, is it possible one of those passengers could have got in and did something to the co-pilot and he did what he had to do? And the reason I'm saying it, because one time they had a breakdown of nationalities. Like how many of them were German, how many of them were like U.S. citizens.
Yeah, they've gone through all that. They have gone through that, how many are German and how many French or how many U.S. citizens. There was only three people from the U.S. on the flight. Most of them were German.
Right. But, Larry, there were people from the Middle East, too.
Yeah, well, and by the way...
Iran included, yeah.
Right, yeah, and I understand where you're going with that, James. But here's the problem with that. And the caller that was calling in before was saying that they were Muslims that were pilots, which you don't know and doesn't seem like it's true at this point. And here's the problem I have with this. So let me just stop this talk right now. I get why you're going there. But believe me, there are terrorists from all around the world, and there's terrorists from all walks of life, and there's a lot of people that are inspired by ISIS and what's going on in the Middle East. But there's other things. There's Chechens. There's neo-Nazis. There's a lot of people. And so I don't like this talk about, well, you know, if they're Muslim, you know they're terrorists. That's ridiculous. I'm German. Am I a Nazi because I'm German? I mean, it doesn't always make sense that way. So we can't I know that there are people who want to do that. But it just doesn't make any sense. Jen from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Jen.
Yes, hi. I have 2 points that I really wanted to contribute to the discussion. First off, to say that the co-pilot, was premeditated would have to assume that during this flight, he was guaranteeing that this pilot was going to, at some point, exit cockpit to do whatever it is that he was doing.
We don't know that either, Jen. It could be. Well, look, he might have been waiting several flights for this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But it was that still makes it premeditated.
Well, I think to make that assumption that he knew that this was going to happen, I think it's far-fetched. I think it's too early in the investigation to know that.
Wait a second, Jen, what you're saying, that doesn't make any sense. So you're saying that just because this guy got up, all of a sudden the co-pilot became a suicidal, murderous maniac?
No,
he wanted to do this, and he was waiting for his opportunity. That's the definition of premeditated.
I think it's too early in the investigation to really lay out all of those definitions at this point, because we don't really know what his motive was. I also want to make mention, which I really appreciate what you just said to your last caller. I think to call this an act of terror is absolutely appropriate. To call this an act of terrorism at this point is just not appropriate.
Well, no,
we don't know if there was a political or religious motivation behind this individual.
I get that.
Was there terror on the plane? Absolutely, by the screams of the passengers that we know now. But to say this is an act of terrorism.
Is he irresponsible?
Absolutely, because it has a negative connotation, because automatically we think...
A negative connotation? Jen, you're killing me. A negative connotation? It was a suicide mass murder. It already has a negative connotation. You're not adding to it by saying it's a possibility of terrorism. I agree with you that it would be irresponsible to call it terrorism, because we don't know that. I think it's equally irresponsible to eliminate that possibility for the same reason, because we don't know that. And I just want the investigators and our governments and this airline to stop treating us like children, because obviously that's a possibility. And to say we don't know everything, well, there's a lot of stuff we know today that we didn't know yesterday. And this was absolutely premeditated. How on earth did this guy in that 1 second become a suicidal, murderous maniac? He was waiting for this opportunity. And then the sick thing is that he calmly, breathing normally, silently, while people are screaming in the back, took down this plane. This is one of the most despicable human beings I've heard described in a long, long time. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti, in for Geraldo Rivera today on 77 WABC.
Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-HERALDO, 77 WABC.
So if this wasn't an act of terrorism, if they know that for a fact, which is what they've told us, the fact that this flight with 150 people, this German Wings flight, was taken down by a co-pilot, deliberately taken down into the Alps, then why is this country on high alert? I mean, they're not officially saying that, but Alan's in his car right now. You just went through the Holland Tunnel, Alan?
Yeah, great program, and I got to give you kudos. Filling in for G.R. Geraldo is like filling in for Jimi Hendrix, and you're carrying the torch, buddy.
Oh, thanks so much. But tell me what happened at the Holland Tunnel.
Well, definitely added security and vigilance. And one of the things always see when they uptick the terrorism, you know, clock here is where the policeman is and the Port Authority guys are actually looking into cars as you go through the toll booth. And there was supervisors standing over to the right. So without a doubt, I do this 3-4 days a week, and coming in today, they are behaving at a heightened level. And one other thing, Larry,
yeah,
the stock markets are reflecting a sense of jitterness over this, and you have to watch that. And I wanted to just lend one thing to your opinion on why they're not talking about it. You have to remember, regionally in Germany and France, Islam and terrorism is a powder keg. So if they light that fuse now, they could have a pseudo Ferguson. So I think there's a lot of tea leaves that you put together, but there's no doubt in my mind that this is terrorism of some sort.
Yeah, my friend, thanks for the phone call, and thanks for the update, and thanks for being the eyes out there. I really appreciate it, and also the compliment. But let me tell you something about that powder keg. It's already lit. They've already broken up terrorist attacks in Great Britain and in the Netherlands. And they've already had several terrorist attacks that have been successful, including Charlie Hebdo. And so we're not keeping that powder keg wet by not talking about it. Believe me, that powder keg's ready to go off. And I think we need to talk about it more, not less. John from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry. I think the last caller was smoking the tea leaves. Listen, you know, we're all jumping to conclusions here. I know, be aware, look out, watch for this one, watch for that one. What happens if the young man just had an embolism, okay, and he was slumped over and they hear him breathing because he shot an embolism? I mean, the things that Americans are concerned about is absolutely ridiculous, Larry. You have a person killed every 30 minutes by a drunk driver on the roads of America, and we're concerned about 150 people that died in another country?
But wait a second. John, first of all, there is you're right. And there's murders happening in neighborhoods across the country, and it's a whole lot more than 150 people. But there is an inherent fear of flying, and there's an inherent fear of being that vulnerable. And this crosses all economic spectrums. And the fact that we have this threat to America and the civilized world out there, and something like this happens, and it's a mystery, and now we find out it was deliberate after being told over and over and over again that it's not terrorism. Even today, we're being told it's not terrorism. You might be right, although they seem to think, the investigators that listen to the flight recorder don't think there were health reasons. Think he was just fine. There was no change in behavior. They would have heard something. He had a microphone right on him. They say they came out and definitively said he did this on purpose. He took control. And as Bryce Robin, the French investigator said, the French prosecutor said, he pushed a button. He had to do this manually to take the plane down. So no, it wasn't an embolism. And excuse me if I get a little bit of upset about 150 people, including school children, going down in a plane and the threat of terrorism to this country. Lobo from New York, you're in 77 WABC.
Yes, Gary, I spoke to you yesterday. I still think it could be a part of terrorist attack. But how is it possible that the pilot cannot have access to the cockpit? He should have, when every pilot go into the airplane, reset the buttons there, and everybody should put it in on code. It's like unbelievable. I'm still supporting you with the terrorist attack. This is unbelievable. I fly too much, and I took the German Wings from Stockholm last Wednesday. Great airline, great people, great pilots. I even told them, great landing, but this is unbelievable.
Lobo, it's a discount airline, right? It's Lufthansa's discount airline.
Alan, why would we call that discount airline?
Because everybody else is. That's why I'm asking you. I know.
I took it. I was a business class. Unbelievable, nice, beautiful airline.
Oh, well, that's
nice
great.
People.
Yeah, well, no. And apparently it had nothing to do with the plane. It had to do with the person they hired as a co-pilot. But everything you're hearing, he showed no signs. He has no terrorist background. There's no ethnicity issues if you're looking for that. He wasn't depressed. He was tops of his class in flight school. It is an absolute mystery, and we don't know if it was terrorism, but it's just as irresponsible to discount terrorism. This is Larry Mente in for Geraldo Rivera. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCRadio.com.
This is Larry Mente in for Geraldo Rivera. The name we're going to be hearing all day today is Andreas Günther Lubitz, who is now a mass murderer. He is the co-pilot on the German Wings flight yesterday that took control of the plane, and prosecutors now say purposely crashed it into the Alps. The question today is why? Was he suicidal? Was he terrorist? What kind of statement was he trying to make? The FBI has now been called in. 500 investigators in Germany are all over his house, checking with his friends, looking through his computers to get some clue as to why he did this. And Tom from Long Island is a former FBI agent who's called in. Thanks for calling, Tom. You're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry. How you doing? Real quick, I've done these cases here and abroad. They're very methodical, but I have to agree with you. And one thing that hasn't been brought up that probably will come out was lack of fire. I think he was getting rid of as much gas as he possibly could in case the pilot was able to penetrate the cockpit and couldn't turn that flight around. We saw what happened on 9/11. There was no
that debris field, there was no fire. That's already been talked about. No one's mentioned why wasn't there a fire. At 400 miles an hour into the side of a mountain, you'd expect a fire, and there was none.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. So you're saying he was dumping fuel as he was going down.
Dumping fuel in case they were able to overpower him. There would be no chance of them being able to turn that plane around anywhere.
That's a fascinating point. When you say, Tom, that you've dealt with cases like this in the past?
Yes, I've been. I can't give out particulars, but I've been. Anytime a U.S. citizen is killed overseas, the lead agency is the FBI. Obviously, you coordinate with the CIA. You have to work with the State Department, and everyone kind of has a little bit of a part. Unfortunately, you're at the disposal of whatever the lead country wants to deliver to you. So it's like I said, it's someone's holding on to a nugget that someone hasn't passed off yet. But it'll come together. I agree with you. It was definitely very intentional. There's no doubt about that. But I'm very curious why there was no fire. And all I can think of is he was dumping the fuel while he had that 10 minutes in the cockpit alone.
That's a fascinating point. Why have you on the phone, Tom? One last question.
Sure.
Why is it they're coming out so soon and so definitively over the last couple of days and saying this is not a terrorist attack? Do they know something, or is that just standard procedure?
That's standard procedure, without a doubt. That's standard procedure. I even took a quick look at the guy's profile on Facebook. It doesn't appear as if he hasn't established anything. You know, two photos, you know, one comment. That's for someone his age, there should be more in there. So that's very troubling.
So that's suspicious to you?
Absolutely. So they'll take all of his information, his cell phone, email address, and they'll compare it to make sure, hey, was he in contact with this guy overseas? Did he speak to this guy? And that stuff will come out. Banking records, all that stuff is going to come out. I think it's just standard operating procedure that they put it out this way, not to panic people, because they don't have enough to put out yet to give that conclusion.
So, Tom, we shouldn't be reading too much into the fact that the FBI is involved. You're saying because there were at least two U.S. citizens on the flight, it's almost a courtesy.
Absolutely. Like, for instance, when a U.S. citizen, you know, dies on a cruise, on a ship overseas, the FBI has to investigate it. So it doesn't surprise me at all that the FBI is involved in this. And I'm sure on the ground, because we have embassies there and consulate, that, you know, our partners are working jointly with our own agencies, put it that way.
Tom, I know this is almost an unfair question for a methodical investigator, but what is your gut?
I'm going to say terrorism.
And so they're going to find something.
Yes, they will. That's my personal belief.
All right, Tom, thanks so much for calling in. Tom is a former FBI agent from Long Island who has worked on cases like this in the past, tragedies where U.S. citizens have been killed and the FBI has been called in. And Tom was one of those FBI agents that was called in overseas to investigate cases, not exactly like this one, but as he said, one time before when a U.S. citizen was killed on a cruise ship. The number to call in right now is 1-866-ARALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Still fascinated by the call we got a little while ago that said, there's a guy in a car that said as he was going through the Holland Tunnel, he noticed increased security. And he noticed that the Port Authority agents were looking in every car. Are you seeing something like that? Because I'd love to hear from you. Because it does, it makes you believe that they're at least allowing the possibility, even though they're not telling us, that this could be a terrorist attack and we are on high alert in New York. Although this, again, could just be standard, but it will tell us what's going on out there. And you will be our eyes and ears. You're our street reporter. Neil from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Two quick points. The first one is the fact, no cell phone calls.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. But although, you know, you have to think for a second, Neil, and I thought about this before, too. In that area they were in, they were flying over the Alps at that point. And so it might have been difficult to get a cell phone signal. I'm not sure how the planes hooked up, but the area might make it difficult. But it's an interesting point.
Well, the second point is the fact that people don't realize that an airplane is different than a car in the fact that when you're making a turn in a car, you turn the wheel and you hold it in that position until you get to where you're going. But within an aircraft, you turn it to start it, and then you neutralize it as if you turn it straight. To come out of that turn, you have to turn it in the opposite direction. So for this plane to start down and not straighten itself, he had to neutralize the controls.
Well, that's interesting, and thanks a lot for clearing that up, because they were very definitive, very clear that this had to be done manually, that it had to be a human being, not a computer, that put it into this controlled descent. Jim from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
How you doing, Lara? The plane that smashed during 9/11 into Pennsylvania, into the ground there, that was no fire either, but that's not what I wanted to say. It seems with this rash of, this is the third or fourth guy, suicidal pilot, they have the technology now where they can take over the plane remotely from the air traffic control tower. I mean, they saw this guy, they were pleading with him that he's losing altitude, and the plane warned him that the ground contact was imminent. With the airline's prices staying the same and their cost of fuel is cut in half, their stocks have doubled. I think it's time Congress passes a law that they can be taken over remotely from the control tower if they see a suicide in progress. I mean, ironically, what allowed this guy to do it was the last act of Congress reinforcing the doors and making them bulletproof.
Yeah, no, so. You're right. Jim, that's a great point. And I don't know. Obviously, we have the technology because we fly drone planes all the time. So the technology's there. It might just be a cost thing, but and so maybe you're right, the federal government has to come in, but that would eliminate a lot of these problems, just taking control of the planes from the ground. Rich from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to say, great show.
Thanks.
Larry, but is it too far-fetched to say that maybe the pilot was involved and not the co-pilot? I mean, maybe something went on in his cockpit. I mean, the fact that the breathing was very calm, that you were saying, is it something that the pilot could have set up, walked out, and...
But why, Rich? I mean, right. Apparently, and I haven't heard the tapes, nobody has except the investigators, he sounded desperate. He was trying to break down the door. There's no evidence that he was anyone except another victim who was saying, oh, my God, open this door. I got to get in there. So I just don't think that there's any evidence that he's involved. In fact, there's evidence to quite the contrary.
Yeah, the only thing that's puzzling is usually when there's any kind of situation like that. I mean, to say the breathing was very calm on the co-pilot. I mean, was something going on inside that cockpit way ahead of time? I mean, who knows? I mean, to convince people that it was the co-pilot and not you.
Yeah, no. I get it. I get the conspiracy that you're trying to build, but no. I mean, it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up that the pilot leaves, is locked out, that they have evidence that he's locked out, that he's pounding on the door, that he somehow set this up so that the co-pilot would be in there, who manually, remember, he had to push a button. He had to manually start this controlled descent. So it's not like the pilot could make him do that. So the co-pilot was in there. They knew the pilot was outside. They heard him leaving. So although it's an interesting conspiracy theory, it just, there's no evidence to support it. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Still would love to hear from some former pilots about how this exactly happens, that a pilot leaves and then is locked out. And also, we're getting some reports that the city is on a little bit of a higher alert. If that's true and you're seeing it, call in 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day. 77 WABC.
We are all today trying to make sense out of something that just makes no sense at all. It is 11:53 on 77 WABC. This is Larry Menti in today. For Geraldo Rivera, as we wrap up, the number to call in is 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. The topic of the day, and I'm certain that Curtis and Kuby are going to pick this up coming up at 12 o'clock, is the crash of the German Wings flight into the Alps in southern France. Trying to figure out how exactly that could have happened. Now, somebody just called up a second ago. A lot of people are calling up just asking questions and not sticking around to go on the air. But somebody called in and said, well, if this was a terrorist attack, why wouldn't you fly the plane all the way to Dusseldorf, where you could do more damage? Why wouldn't you fly the plane into a more populated area? Isn't that the MO of terrorists? Except for the fact this seems to be, and I'm not saying it was terrorism, by the way. I'm saying there's a possibility of terrorism. I'm not saying it was terrorism. There's also a possibility that this guy was just a suicidal maniac and saw an opportunity to not only kill himself, but make some kind of statement to the world that we don't know what that statement is right now. But it also doesn't make sense that he would continue to fly the plane, because at that point he could be taken down. At that point, they could overpower him. He saw an opportunity. This seems premeditated. As soon as the pilot left, that was his chance to make this statement, whatever it was, to the world. And that's being investigated right now, who this guy was. A little while ago, we didn't know his name. Now everybody in the world knows the name Andreas Günther Lovitz. Sue from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi. I'm just curious. You said the gentleman you had before from the FBI was saying that any time an American dies overseas, and then they investigate. I'm curious, when there's a terrorist attack in Israel and Americans' lives are perished, does the FBI come into that as well?
Yeah, so I don't know the answer. I mean, that was Tom that called in. He was a former FBI agent, but I would assume so. It seems like he said it's always a courtesy, although they are not lead in the investigation. What he was saying was that don't read too much into the fact that the FBI was called into this investigation. It really is just standard procedure. Steve from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry.
Hi, Steve.
Listen, even though this might be a highly unlikely scenario, I'm just wondering if there's any information yet about anything in this guy's personal history that could suggest something like a psychotic episode or the kind of hallucinations or sudden disconnection from reality that you might get with something like PTSD.
Well, he went through a medical treatment from the airline every year. They gave him not only a psychological evaluation, but a medical evaluation, and he passed them with flying colors. And also his friends, at least, are saying he was always cheery, he was always happy. So it would seem to eliminate that possibility, although everything is a possibility at this point. We're going to learn more as the hours go by and the days go by. 500 investigators are now at the home of Lovitz. And so my guess is when Curtis and Kuby come on in just the next couple of minutes, we are going to hear a lot more about what happened with the German Wings flight. This is Larry Menti in for Gerardo Rivera on 77 WABC.